Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Catherine Levesque, and welcome to the Medieval World of Catherine Levesque. Today's going to be a fun show. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. Basically, we're going to talk about heroes. What makes a hero your hero? Is it a bad boy? Is it a strength? Do you like the strong, virtuous guys? Do you like the guys that have problems? All kinds of heroes. And this is a chat for both men and women, because you know what? Guys like heroes. They do. You know, because I think it's kind of, I don't want to say an idealism as far as men go, as far as what men are expected to be like, but you know what? Guys like heroes. They really do. So let's talk a little bit about heroes. As an author, specifically what a hero means to me. If I don't have a good hero in a story, my story's not going to be very good. I mean, that's kind of the basic gist of it. So when I write about a hero, they all kind of have the same qualities. The foundation is the same. They all have, they're very honorable. They're strong guys. They have strong personalities. I mean, a hero without an A personality is not much of a hero. Because you want somebody who's going to be strong and decisive and, you know, save the damsel in distress type thing. So every hero I have is definitely from the same mold. They have the same mold. They have the same foundation. But as I'm building, let's talk about it as if it was a recipe. So the base of the sauce is the same. The roux is the same. The strength, the honor, the commitment to family for the most part. You know, these are guys that you know aren't going to turn on you or betray you. So they have a strong sense of loyalty. They have a lot of strength. So that's always the same in every hero I write about. But as we're building this recipe, it's what the additional ingredients I add that makes this hero who he is. For instance, let's talk about William DeWolf. First hero I ever wrote, probably the most perfect man alive, because at that point in time, I wasn't ready to write about a flawed hero. This is a perfect man. Other than the fact that he fell in love with a woman he really couldn't have, at least for a time, and then he kept that romance secret, Willie was pretty straight and narrow. Straight and narrow, he had a sense of humor. You know, he's just a great guy. And he's the kind of guy that women want to be with and men want to be. So, you know, William DeWolf was always just a great guy. Christopher DeLore, a little different. He was my next hero that I ever wrote about, second one. Christopher had an unwavering sense of duty. And I think that was the biggest thing he had, was just that sense of duty, the sense of loyalty to King Richard. He had a huge amount of loyalty to his brother. And so when Christopher and David, and then you had Dustin who came into the mix. Dustin kind of, it's interesting because there's an old saying that when you meet a certain person, when you meet the right person, you change and you become the real you. So when Christopher met Dustin, suddenly he's attracted to this woman. He falls in love with this woman, and his qualities changed a bit. They really did. So it was important to me to write about Christopher and make sure he didn't come across as apathetic or a cheater or somebody who'd now lost his focus, because he'd come back to England for a reason. And, you know, that reason was to really establish Richard's rule to combat whatever his brother John was doing at the time, which was, you know, not good things, as we know. But then you introduce a new wife, and focus changes a bit. So Christopher had a tough path, and I don't want to say Dustin came in between him and David, but for those of you who have read Rise of the Defender, you know that she kind of did. And then of course we have the added element of Marcus Burton. Marcus was another. He's kind of probably the true definition of an anti-hero. He's a good guy at first, and then because he is so determined to have his way and to do what he wants, he becomes kind of this anti-hero, and you're not sure if you like him or you hate him, because Marcus is strictly focused on getting Dustin. So, I mean, I think Rise of the Defender was a book that had a lot of heroes in it and the anti-hero. And then we move on to The Dark Knight, Gaston de Roos. Okay, so Gaston, who is probably one of my more popular heroes, Gaston, at first, you know, I built him up to be really, really an anti-hero. I mean, this guy betrayed Richard S. Bosworth. He's got this reputation as being a traitor, and but that's not it. I mean, you find out later on why he did what he did. It had nothing to do with being a traitor per se to the king. It had everything to do with a personal conviction and also loyalty to Matthew Wellsborn. So, you know, Gaston had a lot of issues. I mean, that's the bottom line. He just had a whole lot of issues. So moving on to Matthew Wellsborn, who is, I've always said he's my favorite hero. Matthew is kind of like William, just kind of a perfect guy. Matthew's big problem, in the beginning, if you've read The White Lord of Wellsborn, you know he did not want to be married. He was betrothed to Alexandrea for 10 years, didn't want to be married, didn't want anything to do with that, so he kind of let his sexual desires run wild, you know, ended up with a bastard little girl, as we know. And does that make him an undesirable hero? Does it make him a bad hero because he was unfaithful to Alexandrea before he married her? No, I don't think so. That's just kind of the way Matthew thinks. And once he was married to Alexandrea, though, he was perfect. I mean, he was a great husband. He was a great hero, and I think that he was very endearing because he's not one of these guys that is kind of a hard ass. He's very, very amiable. Everybody loved him, in contrast to Gaston de Roos, who is not amiable at all. And, you know, I don't want to say he's not so well liked by his men, but he certainly is intimidating to them. So, you know, that could be a problem. So as an author, it's really important to me to write relatable heroes, heroes that women go, oh God, he's such a great guy. You know, he's my book boyfriend. So, you know, and that it's just a very important thing to me. And obviously, you know, I have always said that I write books that I want to read. So I write about heroes that I want to admire and I want to daydream about. So whenever you see these heroes, these are guys that I love. And who's my favorite hero in all my novels? Very good question. You know, it's kind of like people ask me that all the time. What's your favorite book? Who's your favorite hero? Well, that's like asking me who my favorite kid is. And, you know, think about that, because I have created these heroes. Who's my favorite? Well, they're all my favorite for certain qualities or whatever. But I would say that overall, Matthew Wellsborn has always been my favorite one. I also like Weston DeRoyans from To the Lady Born. He's one of my favorites. I think he's a great guy. And what was fun about writing about Weston in To the Lady Born was I got to write about him as a bachelor and when he met Amelie. And then we have this break in the middle of the book where then you get to see them 4 or 5 years down the line when they have children. So you get to see him as a father and see what kind of a father figure he is, which is interesting because Weston did not have a real good father figure in his life. His father committed suicide at a young age. So, you know, Weston kind of overcomes it. So I really, really like Weston a lot. Of course, I love Gaston. I love Jacques DeBell. Like I said, I can't pick one. Like asking me to pick a favorite kid. I can't do that. So moving on, let's talk about flawed heroes. The danger of a flawed hero is, quite seriously, you can't make him too flawed or he's not relatable and then people don't like him. Too flawed, you really run that risk. Consequently, too perfect, you run the same risk. They're not relatable. God, this guy's too good to be true. He's just too perfect. Yeah, well, you know, that can be a problem as well. So as an author, you have to be careful and you have to walk that fine line to make sure that they are not too flawed and not too perfect. So I, you know, I'm always throwing in little quirks or little physical descriptions or things that really make them very human and very relatable, which is really important to me. If you recall, Gaston de Roos has a big scar on his face, as does Bose de Moray from the Gorgon. Bose has a great big, he's got these three parallel scars on his face, which we find out his mother-in-law gave to him, you know, later in the book. That's how he received those. And a physical flaw. How about handsome? Do you like a hero that is described as being excruciatingly handsome? Yeah, I mean, women like good-looking guys, of course. I mean, that's natural. But do you want, like, Mr. Perfect? Or do you want somebody who's like the Marlboro Man? You know, think of it that way. Do you want Chris Hemsworth or do you want Tom Selleck? I don't know, maybe that was a bad comparison because they're both really hot. So forget about that. I think that's a bad comparison. But the point is, do you want them too perfect or do you want them like with that rugged beauty? I think the old, I always write my heroes with, obviously, handsome. They have to be handsome. Come on, seriously? You don't want to have some, you don't want to have some hero? Of course you do. Everybody does. I mean, it's just part of the game. But I think the only hero I ever wrote about that wasn't excruciatingly handsome, or, you know, very handsome to a certain extent, was Bose, again, Bose de Moray. Bose, you know, big, tough, seasoned, tournament night, battered, beaten. You know, he's got scars. He's older, too. In the Gorgon, he's an older guy. But, you know, he has been a favorite hero as well. So I think all in all, I've been pretty lucky as far as people really relating to my heroes. But you also have to kind of give them the whole package. You can't have a dumb hero. I don't want to say that I've ever made a mistake with that, but I wrote a book called For Love and Honor, which has been retitled, and now it's called Valiant Chaos. If you have not read it, read it. It's a very interesting story, and every author does this. You know, I mean, when you write a book, you really hope it's going to go over well. You pray that it will. You pray that people are going to like it, and they're going to love the hero and the heroine. But For Love and Honor / Valiant Chaos, that was a different experiment for me because I played on the, you know, usually when you write about a hero, he's very, very smart. He makes the decisions for the women because back then in medieval times, of course, that's what they did. You know, it was a man's world. But in this book, I kind of made it the woman's world. And I made her smart. And he was not stupid, but he really deferred to her in all judgment and decisions. And was it successful? I mean, moderately successful, but it wasn't overwhelmingly to the point where I would do that again, because I think readers read strong heroes. So, you know, it's all good. It's all good. Everything that I write, I don't want to say it's an experiment, but certainly everything I write is from the heart. It's from my mind, what I like, what I want to see. And, you know, I try to be different. I try to give heroes different twists and turns and quirks. And I think that just makes them human. And I think overall, and as a reader, I'm sure that's what you like. You know, you like to find somebody who's a little relatable and human, somebody that you could bring home to your mother. So that's our discussion about heroes today. I hope you enjoyed this. This was a lot of fun. These podcasts have really kind of been a lot of fun for me to kind of talk to readers and get my thoughts out, because I get a lot of questions about things, and this is kind of a fun way to explain why I do what I do and how I do it. And now you kind of know how I write my heroes. Basic formula, but then I add different elements that make them just a little different from each other. But I think they're pretty great guys all together. So I really hope you've enjoyed our chat. I know I have. It's been very exciting, and I hope you tune in next time. I'm going to try to do this. Let's have a good time, and let's talk about medieval madness. So with that, this is Catherine Levesque. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk soon. Bye-bye.